Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Sport of Kings podcast. On this pod, we discuss the late pick five at Saratoga on Saturday, August 17th, 2024. This is show number 285, August 16th, 2024. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Sport of Kings, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, how do you feel about the races this week?
They're interesting. I'm hoping the weather cooperates. It's always a little iffy at Saratoga, but I'm recovering from spending 6 days in Vegas, just about back to normal. And you've been spending about a week out there at Saratoga. So how are things going there?
Well, they're good, but I've spent 2 days at the track, and both times the races were off the turf. they weren't off the turf yesterday, until we got a massive rain shower at, I don't know, right before the seventh race. And they took the last two races off the turf. And, you know, that was kind of a bummer. But other than that, it's been amazing being here in this town and being at the track. And even after the rain, it was, you know, it was a beautiful sunny day. Half an hour after the rain came.
Yeah, the best part of Saratoga is just the town is so racing centric. It's different than any place else. Closest thing to it's probably Lexington, but Saratoga is a little smaller, and it's definitely anywhere you go, people are talking about racing, which is pretty cool.
And we have a special returning guest. He's the New York analyst for Daily Racing Form, and you can often see him giving stakes previews with Dan Illman. He's the NYRA analyst for the in-house program at Saratoga this year. He's Mike Beer. Mike, welcome back.
Guys, thanks for having me. It's been a while.
I think it's been since 2022.
Oh, that's
long. Seems kind of hard to believe. It seems hard to believe it's been that long. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know we couldn't sync up during last year's Saratoga meet. I think we tried a few times, and it just didn't work out as far as the schedules go. But this year, I have a totally different schedule, so it's a lot easier for me.
I have to say it's been a long time between drinks for us with Mike Beer.
Yeah,
of course. You never make puns about a person's name because they've heard them all a million times.
I have heard them all, but I still let them go.
Well, you know, I gotta say, you know, I brought a couple of newbie friends, first time Saratogians, first time to Saratoga friends to the track yesterday, and they were looking at the track program and reading Mike Beer and saying, "Hey, IPA Beer says he likes this horse."
I feel, you know, it's funny to say that. I kind of feel bad for them. As far as before, you know, everything happened, everything came off the turf. But I kind of feel bad for them for yesterday because I don't think my picks did very well. I think actually they did pretty well in the first part of that card, but none of them won.
Yeah, but you know what? They were impressed that the horse got second. So
yeah,
you know, he's good.
I think the first four all finished second. So it was a little frustrating, but that happens when you're doing the job that we do.
Yeah. I mean, you know, right. It's a rough life being a public handicapper.
Not really. Not really. I totally disagree.
I said that in jest, actually.
No, I know. I'm sure you did. But I've actually had people say that to me in seriousness, and I I always have to disagree with that. I mean, listen, it could be frustrating, and you're always gonna have to deal with some people, you know, telling you how bad you are, but I'm okay with that.
Sure. So I wanted to bring this up while I'm thinking about it. Have you guys ever played the Grand Slam wager at NYRA?
I'll go first because hopefully Chris can add something better to this. I've played it exactly once. And I think it was during the Belmont Stakes Festival this year, the first time I ever played one. I can't remember why I played it, but I did, and I was out in the first leg. So I don't get that bet at all. I know there are ways to make it work sometimes, but I don't get that bet. I never even really give any consideration.
Have you ever played it, Chris?
Yeah, you know, because it's such a weird bet, and most people have no idea how to play it, you know, how to bet it in an intelligent way. I play it sometimes, but I have to have to, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about it, but it's a weird bet. And some people might not even know what it is, but I mean, Basically you have to play horses that at least hit the board in the first three legs. In the last race of the day, you have to have the winner. So You can think about it. The strategy is going to be different than like a normal pick. And you know, if a heavy favorite runs second in like a pick five and you have, you know, you get through that leg, it's a big deal. Whereas in this kind of setup, if the heavy favorite runs second, it really doesn't help you at all. So anyway, you have to think about it carefully, how you structure tickets that actually could show a profit. And there are some ways you can do it, I think, that most people, you know, don't think about. So it's one of those things. I don't think it's a great bet in general, but it is a bet with certain kind of sequences where if you think about it and you really understand, you know, how you can extract value from it, it is one of those things where bet construction is a lot more important than handicapping. So I do tackle it every once in a while, but it's kind of strange and I wouldn't recommend most people play it.
Well, so I will explain it to people. Just because I have a story about it. The first three legs, you just have to get one horse to be in the money. So you could conceivably go with three favorites, and as long as they're all in the money, you're getting runners on base in the first three legs. And then the last leg, you got to get the winner home. You have to hit the winner. So you hit the Grand Slam. I think that the reason why it even came up is because my girlfriend said she was lamenting that I almost hit a pick five and my horse got second, and I was four or five with 1 second. And she said there should be a bet where, you know, if your horse just gets in the money, you know, you can still win, you know, in a multi-leg wager like that. And I said, well, there is one. It's called the Grand Slam. And our old friend Mark Attenberg used to say to me, like, Scott, you have to hit the Grand Slam at least once. And I haven't done it. So our mission yesterday at the track was to hit that wager, including my newbie friends. And my girlfriend hit it her first try. She hit a Grand Slam. She hit it twice.
Well, that's great. What did it pay?
$4.95. That's $4.95. But I do have to say the last leg, the Grand Slam leg was taken off the turf, so it was an all.
The story keeps getting worse.
Yes.
But you know, we were sure that if it had stayed on the turf, she still would have hit it and she would have, you know, cashed a little bit more. So
I don't think you're convincing many people out there.
Absolutely not. This bet's going away soon.
But and wait, you said the bet's going away soon?
That's going away. After that story, nobody's going to want to play this game.
Well, I got to say, I'm not only playing the pick five, but I'm playing the Grand Slam tomorrow because I still have yet to hit it. I've only tried like four or five times.
All right. But, if you're going to do it, if you're going to do it, then I'll play it too. And Chris has to play it. So we all have to play it.
Okay. Well, I'll play it. I bet you.
I will happily. I will happily. I will give out my Grand Slam ticket tomorrow on Twitter tomorrow. I'll make that a promise. It's not a big investment. And basically, you know, you just have to get three horses to show in the first three legs. It's right. That last leg is the tough one. And, in tomorrow's sequence, it's the 11th race.
Yeah. I'm seeing that. If I'm seeing that right, it doesn't go into the Alabama, it goes into the race after.
Yeah. I mean, the Alabama, you just got to get one horse in third.
Yeah, right. All right, fair enough.
All right, well, now that we've talked about the Grand Slam, which is a 24% takeout, so it's not like a great moneymaker, but it can be kind of fun.
But it's almost anyway. Like a 24% show parlay.
That's exactly right.
That's why I'm saying it's not particularly a good bet.
No.
But
no,
certain if you get a certain kind of sequence and you play it right, there are some ways you can extract value, but you have to really understand how most people play it and where the value lies. So
yeah, I agree. I do know people who play it pretty regularly and who have actually done pretty well with it at times, but it's pretty inconsistent as far as, you know, doing well with that bet.
Yeah, most sequences aren't going to pay. They're just not worth playing.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
If it's going to chalk out and not just chalk out with the winners, but if, you know, favorites are going to be hitting the board in every leg, it's just not worth playing.
Exactly.
Hey, I have an idea for our April Fool's pod. We're going to say we're playing the Grand Slam at Aqueduct.
In the middle of winter or on April Fool. Okay. April. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
Anyway, well, let's get to our pick five at Saratoga. It starts with the eighth race. Enough already. The eighth race at Saratoga is an allowance, a mile and an eighth on dirt, purse of $110,000 for 3-year-olds and up. And Mike, as our guest, let's have you go first.
All right. You know, listen, I think this pick five sequence is actually, you know, a pretty interesting one on Saturday. Hopefully these races stay intact because you got big fields in all five of the races. I think at least 10 in every race save the Alabama, and there's 8 in there. So it's a pretty good sequence. I feel like there are also, maybe you guys agree with this or maybe you don't, there are identifiable favorites, I think, in all five of these races. So you have a pretty good starting off point where you need to start looking right away. And then you can decide, you know, it all depends on how you want to play these sequences, the pick five sequence in particular. You know, if you're looking to beat the favorites, you know who you have to try to beat. And if you're looking to use the favorites and just, you know, if you're one of those survive and advance guys, then you know where to start looking in that regard too. I personally try to beat most of them. So especially when I'm playing pick fives, because I don't want to play big tickets in this kind of wager. The first leg to me goes through the 10 timeout. He's the morning line favorite. I think he is the horse to beat in here. I also feel like we should just point out that the number 4 Bank Frenzy and the number 9 Donegal Surges, they're both entered in the Evan Shipman on Sunday for New York Reds. And I'm kind of thinking they're going to run there. They're not going to run here. So you're going to have a field of 8 here, most likely, before any other scratches in this race. So that only helps timeout, I think. I'm a fan of his. He is not one of the favorites that I was, you know, sort of way against in this sequence. There are other favorites that I'm looking to beat. I didn't really feel like he was one of them. So I'll use him. That being said, I was, you know, a little disappointed in his curling last time. I thought he'd run better than that. He was just kind of even around there. He gets Lasix back on for this. He won't have a terrible post with the likely scratches. I don't know, man. I'm not way against him. And I'm going to use him. And the more I looked at everybody else, the only other horse who's going to take money in here that I like as a horse is Rocketeer, the 6. He's going to be a shorter price now than he would have been before the scratches. So that turns me off to him. I have this opinion about Rocketeer. I like him as a horse. I really liked him in his most recent startup. He ran up here earlier in the meet. He went this distance on the main track. I thought that was a great spot for him. And I do think that he ran well. And my opinion of that race was, he kind of didn't really seem like he wanted to go nine furlongs. That was just my takeaway. The pace was pretty fast. He got involved in it, and a closer won the race. So maybe there are ways to mitigate the loss there. I thought that was a race that he was going to win, and he didn't. And I was a little disappointed in it. Blinkers are on now. Maybe this is the right spot for him, but I was a little disappointed in his last race. So at a short price, I'd probably be trying not to use him. And this isn't the kind of horse. The horse I'm going to talk about right now isn't really a pick five kind of a horse, but the horse who I'm betting in the race straight up, and who I personally would use in the pick five, is the one Cartucho. And I get that he might not be any good, and I get that this might not be the right race for Cartucho. But my opinion is that this horse is good. He's better than he looks on paper, and he's going to be a huge price in here. So I have to lose a little money on this horse. I really liked his debut. I was super impressed when he won first time out. And he didn't look like a made horse at that time. I thought he did it all on talent. And I thought it was a pretty impressive win. And I thought there's more to come from this horse. He's going to get better in a couple of starts. That didn't happen, obviously, but he wasn't winning his second start against Mind Frame behind a super slow pace at Churchill. And then I don't know if you guys, got through the replays of these races or not yet, but I don't know if you guys have seen his most recent start. I just thought he got a terrible ride in that race. I mean, to me, Florent Giroux just got him lost right out of the gate in there. He's wide on the first turn. And so Giroux just takes him back and he winds up totally out of position. I'm not going to defend his performance exactly. He didn't run well after that. But to me, that race was over for him really early. And I'm not going to hold it against him. I think he's way better than he looks on paper. And this is the kind of horse that I like to bet on. Whether they win or not, I like to bet horses like him before they're exposed. And I'm going to bet him to win in this race, and I am going to use him in the pick five.
Well, I do like the horse, and he's a use for me. I will say that I did watch the replay, and I wrote, no excuse, showed nothing. But, it was his first time going the distance, and he had had two pretty strong races. One other thing I'll note about the horse is that his dam was a major stakes winner, including winning Malibu Prayer. She won the Ruffian Grade One at Saratoga, mile and an eighth. So definitely has the potential. Chris, what are you thinking?
Well, I didn't expect the Mike would be on the same horse I am, but the Cartucho is the one I like here. It is a little speculative. I don't have a whole lot to add, but I'll add a couple things. One, kind of follow up on what you said, Scott. The horse is really well bred, and they spent over $1 million on the horse. And on debut, it looked like they got, and they might have gotten a bargain. This horse was really dazzling in its debut. And then, like Mike said, second start, Chase Mind Frame. But, behind a slow pace, didn't run that bad. It wasn't bad for a second start. And then that kind of terrible race that we just talked about. But I did notice that the horse was a private vet scratch, says due to illness in Timeform US. You never know with the private vet scratches, but maybe he did. Maybe he wasn't feeling well and, something was off in that bad race. And since then, they've worked him steadily and, they spot him in an interesting place. And if he can run back to that, debut effort, assuming maybe just something went wrong, some sort of illness is what set him back in that one race. There's no reason why he couldn't win this because, these horses, I don't think you can lean on any of them heavily. So, I'm always looking for a horse like that. There's one other price horse I'm kind of interested in. I didn't realize that Bank Frenzy and Donegal Surges may scratch. I think if Bank Frenzy does scratch, that might help Rocketeer's chances a bit because I think Bank Frenzy was one of the speed horses in the race. But I'm going to go with the same one, Mike, in terms of who would be the best value from a win perspective in this race. That's the one, Cartucho.
All right. We should be clear that we don't know that. We don't know that those horses are going to scratch. We haven't heard that officially, but there's a good chance at least one of them will scratch. I think the purse is similar So, you know, if it's a money only thing, then, you know, it could go either way.
Yeah. Yeah. And they don't have, like, if they were entered in another allowance race on Sunday, they would have to stretch tomorrow to run Sunday, but they're entered in the stakes race on Sunday. So they don't have to stretch tomorrow. They can run.
Okay. So, you know, as I said, I had Cartucho. I almost went with him to win. I ended up putting him in as my second horse. But the horse I landed on, and I did get to do a lot of replay work this week, and the horse I landed on is another long shot who may be a higher price than Cartucho, and that is Digital Ops. He was game in his maiden win in his last. Despite only earning a 79 buyer, the horse he beat, Pentathlon, went on to win yesterday with a 96 buyer. This horse was game, showed fight in that race, and the dam won two-turn stakes. I think this horse, you know, he's got some speed. I think he needs to improve, but he's only, you know, he ran once as a 2-year-old and once as a 3-year-old. I think he's got a lot of upside, and I think he can step up and surprise this field that seems only like a pretty average group. So Digital Ops is my price horse, but I'll also be using Cartucho and probably a few others.
Mike, anything else you want to add on this race?
No, I think we probably covered. I'm glad that Scott did bring up Digital Ops, though, because I do think he is another horse that I think I'll be using him in the Pit Five as well. I just appreciate that he has a little bit of speed from the inside. I think this is the kind of race, especially if the scratches do come through, that you probably want to be forward in here. You guys sound like that you are a little bit more against timeout than I am in this race. Is that the case here? You guys didn't think he was kind of the horse to beat, or like a pretty clear horse to beat in here?
I think he's, you know, as the potential favorite. I'm not sure if he'd be favored over Donegal Surges, but you know, when I saw his sheet line, I was like, I really like this. But then when I saw the 5-2 morning line, I started looking elsewhere.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think the three favorites, Rocketeer, Donegal Surges, and Timeout, they're all legitimate favorites. They could win, but I don't think they're that much better than anybody else. That's why I won't hesitate to play somebody else. To me, especially from that outside post with Timeout, he could win, but he could easily lose, you know, and he'll probably be a heavy favorite if Donegal Surges scratches. So.
Yeah, it'll be a shorter price. You're right. Yeah, no, I agree. I don't agree with any of that. I mean, I do think he's the horse to beat, but I didn't think he was like a layup in there. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I will say, there's one thing that I really liked about Timeout was since his last race, he worked out 47.3 bullet on the Saratoga training track, first out of 111 horses. You know, if this horse is ever going to improve, it will be today. I just, you know, with the price and the outside post, it would be tough for me to have him on top. But you know, I'm not gonna play the pick five without using them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will. Bill Mott, you know, his horse has been running really well too. The one thing though, Joel Rosario, he's the kind of rider I hate playing on favorites because he gives you so many head scratching rides. I'd much rather have him on a long shot where sometimes he gives you brilliant rides. And he's the kind of high variance rider that I would much rather have on a long shot than a favorite. Especially because he takes some money. I mean, he's not like some journeyman that doesn't ever take any money.
That's true.
So I just don't know what he's going to do on that horse from post 10.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even, you know, it's funny about that. I didn't even notice. I personally pay very little attention to riders, but I just, for some reason, I just assumed the Junior Alvarado was riding this horse. He's not.
He's ridden him once, but Rosario rode him last time.
Yeah, he did. You're right. Yeah. I don't pay a lot of attention to riders, but.
Yeah, I probably pay too much attention to them, but so there is one other horse I kind of liked in here, and that's Django, the 8 horse. He was actually a pretty good horse as a 2-year-old, and he had some decent races. He was definitely you know, a cut below the best horses, but he ran, you know, second to Dornock, and, you know, he was third to West Saratoga, well beaten in both those races, you know, but he was running against horses like Nash, Dornock, West Saratoga, all these horses that were on the Triple Crown trail, and not running, you know, he's beaten most of the horses in those races. So I think he had some quality, and his last couple races haven't been bad. His last one I thought was better than it looks. He took him a while to break his maiden, but he did finally. And then they stepped him up in the stakes race, and it was in that same race with Time Out, and he was beaten by a couple of lengths, but he was parked wide all the way around in that race. So I think that's somewhat excusable. And I think he's kind of on the improve, and that was without Lasix. So he gets Lasix back on here. So I don't know, at a potentially big price, I thought he was interesting. Django. Yeah, and he's also the kind that if he doesn't win, he could hit the board right at a price.
Yeah. So. I agree with that too. He didn't run that poorly behind Time Out last time. It was actually a better performance. And listen, his last two races are probably the two best he's ever run. So that's a good thing. He's one of those, I just hate his running style for this kind of a race. You know, this horse who doesn't have a lot of speed, and he's just going to sort of be sitting at the back and having to pass a bunch of horses in the stretch. I hate horses like that, but when you're going to get the kind of price you're going to get on Django, it's worth taking a shot.
Yeah, and that's a good point. He might be better as an underneath used, you know, as than a win bet. But I certainly could see him, you know, clunking up for third or second, and maybe even with the right trip and with some improvement, winning the race. But yeah, he's probably the kind you don't want to lean on the win end too much. But he might be one where you can get some value in some of the other vertical pools.
Yeah, I've you know, that's a good point, Mike. You know, this is a horse that I wrestled with. I did not look at his running style, and you know, one of the things that happened to me yesterday is I liked some horses that came from way out of it, and none of them did any running. So you really do kind of need to be. I would guess that the stats bear this out. You kind of have to be, you got to be in the race to win it, at least on the dirt.
On the main track at Saratoga, you usually do. I mean, that's not that much different from any dirt track anywhere in the country. I mean, if you have a lack of speed, you're up against it anywhere, not just at Saratoga.
All right, well, let's go to the ninth race. It is the Lake Placid Stakes, Grade 2, mile 16th on inner turf, purse of $200,000 for three-year-old fillies. And Chris, you get to go first.
Yeah, you know, we usually get one of these in every pick five at Saratoga, one of these stakes races on the turf, two turns. So it's like a good one. I do think the seven horse he feels pretty is genuine, legit favorite and the most likely winner. So to me, she kind of, you know, sort of does stick out in terms of the favorites in the sequence. She's probably the most reliable, but it is a two turn turf race with young fillies that could improve. And there's some alternatives in here, and I'm going to go with one of those alternatives. That's the six horse. I think you'd say Le Ray. I think is how you pronounce it. Le Reyes. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. It's a French horse making its U.S. debut. I watched the replays of its races, and this horse has a legitimate European-style kick at the end. She is going to be back, so she's going to need some racing luck. But, you know, I thought she was pretty impressive. It's hard to tell how she stacks up with these horses, but you got to figure – a European filly with the kind of kick she has can win a race like this. She may not be good enough to beat She Feels Pretty, who's pretty good, but I think she's definitely, like, you know, has a good chance to beat everybody else. And maybe, you know, she's good enough to win the race. Maybe She Feels Pretty doesn't fire or doesn't have a good trip. Or maybe, you know, the French horse can really improve first U.S. start. So I'm going to go with the six. At 10-1 morning line. Don't know if that'll hold up. That's kind of a hard horse to make a morning line for, but Chris Clement can certainly get him running. And this is the kind I like. Rosario on a closer on the turf at a price. Sometimes he can really put a great ride on these horses. Sometimes he will not put a great ride on them, but this is the kind of horse I like to play him on. So I'm going to go with a six.
Okay, she's 3-7 on turf, including her last two wins, which were at 26-1 and 9-1. Mike, what are you thinking?
I'm going to 75% agree with Chris's take on this race, I think, because I landed on the same horse he did. I like LeRae in this race. I saw all the same things that he did in her last two starts in particular. It feels like they changed up her running style too for those two most recent starts, because earlier in her career, she ran on heavy ground a couple times and she didn't seem to like, she didn't run well, but her other races are all good. And earlier on, she was, you know, pretty handy. They would sit sort of up close to the pace with her and she would run fine. But the last two, it seems like they changed it up with her. They took her back and let her make one run, and she was really impressive in those races, I thought. So I'm on the same horse that Chris is in here. I only disagree slightly as far as she feels pretty goes. And I'm only disagreeing as far as the pick five. Just talking strictly about the pick five wager, because I do think she's the horse to beat, and I won't be surprised when she wins here. But she's a 2-1 favorite, a deserving favorite in here. But I personally didn't feel like she was some kind of standout in this field. I don't think she has a huge edge on these horses. Her races are all good. I thought she ran fine in a grade one last time going longer, and maybe going shorter even helps her more in here. But I just struggle to identify the one race that she's run, that makes me feel like she towers over these horses. And I know she won a grade one as a 2-year-old, but the Natalma in Canada, I don't know, that wasn't a very good field that she beat. When was the last time a really good horse came out of the Natalma? I don't know. Her races are fine, but she's the kind of horse who, you know, even if this is a spread race, and I feel like you guys probably agree that in a bet like the pick five, this is probably a spread race because it's so wide open. Even the people who are spreading, most of them are using She Feels Pretty in the pick five. So I feel like if you can beat her, you're eliminating a ton of tickets in the pick five wager. And she's the kind of horse that I'm going to try to beat in here, and I'm not going to use her in the pick five. I'm using LeRae. I'd like to use Cherie DeBeau's other horse, Deep Satin, who has the rail. I know she just broke her maiden, but I like all three of her races, and I thought she was really good winning last time. And the other horse who's a main use for me, along with the six, is the 10, Dynamic Pricing. To me, she's way better than she looks on paper. Her Florida Oaks, the race three starts back where it looks like she didn't run well. She had an impossible trip in that race and actually ran way better than it looked. I loved her win on Oaks Day in the Edgewood. I thought she ran really, really well that day. And then she was behind She Feels Pretty last time. And I just thought she had a terrible trip in that race too. It was a bad start. A horse bothered her in the stretch and totally knocked her off her stride. And she just lost all chance at that point. I don't know. I think she's really interesting in here. So I was against the 7, and I was going to use other horses, particularly the 6 and the 10.
Okay, well, I respect that opinion. I'm sort of on the fence with She Feels Pretty. When I first looked at this race, I was thinking, this horse has progressed, and all systems go, she could be a single. But then, you know, then I started seeing, like, she lost as the favorite in the Breeders' Cup Juvie Philly Turf. She lost at even money in her last race. She probably will prefer the cutback to a mile and a 16th. But, you know, the fact is she still hasn't won going farther than a mile. And she's by Cara Conti, who's was a miler himself. I ended out going with one of the horses that Mike mentioned, and that is Deep Satin, the other Cherie DeBeau.
Just a minute. I was going to wait, but I read that Cherie DeBeau said Deep Satin's going to scratch.
Oh, really?
That's so, cool. Yeah. Now, I don't know if it was an absolute certainty, but just okay. So I can't say she's scratching, but I read, and I think it was in a DRF article, that She Feels Pretty is going and Deep Satin's scratching, unless something weird happens. I just to let you know, Scott.
That's great, because I only have comments on Deep Satin. I will look that up and see if she's around. If in fact she said that she's going to scratch, let's see. Yeah, she said on Thursday that Deep Satin is currently ill and not likely to run. So even if she does run, yeah,
you probably don't want her anymore.
Okay. So, oh God.
Handicap on the fly, Scott.
Jesus. All right. We're going to do one, a rare, circle back later. And I will, I guess for right now, I will just say, I will say that, I would pick dynamic pricing at 6-1. That would be like the next horse. So
I'll talk a little bit, and then if you come up with something, you can jump in, Scott.
Okay.
I'll just respond a couple of things. Like, one thing I'll say about She Feels Pretty, and I agree that she doesn't totally lay over this field, but at that Breeders' Cup Juvenile, she was parked 4 or 5 wide all the way around the track, yeah, and only got beat half a length. So yeah, she was much the best in there. And that was the Breeders' Cup Juvenile filly in turf. So this horse has some class. I think might be underrating her a bit there. Her comeback effort was great. And maybe she just isn't her. Even her last race wasn't too bad. But maybe that was a little bit beyond her scope. And probably even this distance might be a little more than she, maybe she is a miler, but, it's only a 16th of a mile longer. To me, she does kind of stand out a little bit, not like a totally overlay, but I think she's a notch above these others. So I just want to throw that out.
I just to jump in, Chris, I don't want to cut you off, but I want to be clear here. I do think she's a good horse, and I do think she's the horse to beat in the air. And I'm not knocking any of her. I think she's run well every time that she really goes center out there. And I personally think that she ran really well last time. I don't think a mile and 3/16 got her beat. She got beat by the best 3-year-old turf filly in the country, Cinderella's Dream. And the horse that was second in there, and by the way, it was a head bob on the wire for second, suggested might be the second best 3-year-old turf filly in the country. I mean, that was a really good field. And She Feels Pretty ran great in there. So I'm not really knocking her. I'm just saying I feel like this race maybe goes beyond her, because there are other really interesting horses in here. And, for me, the way that I play races, bets like the Pick Five, I'm looking for any reason to throw out short prices. And I just felt like maybe this was the kind of horse, She Feels Pretty, who's going to be on so many tickets. And I thought that I could beat her against, I think there's other good horses in this race.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I just wanted to say that, her credentials are pretty good for a horse, for a 3-year-old filly. She, like you said, hasn't run a bad race. It did seem like she might have been, to me, to look like she was going to win that race, and then she didn't. So, but maybe she was just second best. You could be right. But it did seem like maybe that was at her distance limit. And dynamic pricing is a nice horse too. Just, given that post, and she did that. I'm a little bit leery, but the other thing to note about dynamic pricing is that, she has run a good race with some give in the ground over yielding turf at Churchill. Yeah. And there could be some give in the ground tomorrow. So that's probably in that horse's favor as well. And nobody mentioned Beautiful Love, but that's the Appleby horse off the layoff. That's got some talent clearly as well. Did draw the outside post. And doesn't have William Buick coming in to ride, or even Flavian Pratt. Gets Manny Franco. It's not bad, but going to have to really work a trip from an outside post. But that horse will take some money. And that horse clearly has some talent and could run big. I mean, given the connections.
Yeah, I think one of the only reason that I really didn't have that horse in there is just because I felt like she'd be a short price. And I thought there were other interesting horses at better prices. But I'm afraid of Beautiful Love. I think she's pretty good.
Yeah. So, it is kind of wide open, but to me, the way I'll play in the Pick Five is I'll probably play Le Ray and just back her up with she feels pretty. And if some of the other ones beat me, they beat me. But, you know, I kind of like Dynac Pricing Some, Beautiful Love Some, but there's other horses. Proctor Street has a lot of upside. Gray Yosh has upside. Spoliday. I mean, Ori, all of these horses, to me, all look about the same. It all could improve. But, you know, She Feels Pretty seems to be a notch or two, at least demonstrated a notch or two above them. So, you know, rather than spread, I'll probably go narrow in here with just Le Ray, and then She Feels Pretty as the backup.
Yeah, one thing I will say about She Feels Pretty, based on our workouts, I haven't got the DRF workout report yet, but I don't. That's not the Bible for me anyway. But she does look like she's training really well on the Oklahoma training track. So she looks like she's going to run like the biggest race of her life. So I may end up singling her, but I did also just see Dynamic Pricing get knocked off Stride. So I'm going to make Dynamic Pricing my pick. And then maybe I'll do, you know, sort of the same thing with that Chris is doing, leave Dynamic Pricing on top, but back it up with she Feels Pretty.
Makes sense. So who did you like, Mike? Was it Dynamic Pricing or Le Ray or both? It sounded like you were kind of on both of those.
I like them both. I picked Le Ray on top and Dynamic Pricing second, but they're going to be my two main users in the race.
So we're kind of on the same page. We have a little bit difference of opinion on She Feels Pretty, maybe, but the rest of the race we're kind of similar.
Yeah, I think we see the race very, very similarly. I'm just a little bit more likely to take a shot against the favorite than you are, it sounds like.
Okay, well, let's go to the 10th, which is the Alabama, a Grade 1 mile and a quarter on dirt, purse of $600,000 for 3-year-old fillies. Mike, what do you got?
I got, I don't know, not too much, I don't think. I think Candide is a legit favorite in here. She'll be really short, and I'm not sure how short a price you're supposed to take on her, but I do think she's the best horse. And I kind of feel like she's a pretty likely winner of the Alabama. I'm using her in the pick. I want to see the final odds before I make, you know, any decisions about betting the race. If I bet against her, it'll be because the 4 Just Basking is, you know, some kind of price that I can't resist. I don't think the morning line 5-1 is that price. But if she drifts off that, she'd be the only horse that I would bet against Candide in here. I like all of her races. I know she finally got a figure last time, but I don't care so much about that because I liked her prior 3 dirt starts quite a bit. And I just think she's good. You know, she's going to have to work out the right trip in here. She likes to sort of make one run, but she's not like, when you go back and watch all of her races, she's not a deep, deep closer. Like, she'll get herself in range. And I like that she moves early enough so that by the time these races get into the stretch, she's sort of right there already. And she really finishes. So I don't know. I'm sort of taken with her races. And I think she's an interesting alternative to Candide if she's the right price in here. And she's got a great pedigree for this kind of a distance. I know she already won at this distance anyway, so you don't have to worry about it, but she's got a great pedigree to go long. I don't know. To me, it's her Candy. I think Candy probably wins, and I'm just going to have to wait and see if I can bet against her with the 4. I'm going to use both of them, in the pick 5.
So Just Basking, not only did she win by 4 and something lengths in her last race, but she extended on the gallop out. Chris, what are you thinking?
Yeah, this is a really unique race because of the mile and a quarter distance. I mean, it's weird. It still survived when all the other races have been cutting back in distance. I mean, these horses probably it'll never run a mile and a quarter on the dirt again. A couple of them already have, but it was kind of weird. One was an off the turf race. It's just really unusual. And I think that's the most important factor in the race is the distance. And yeah, Candide, I agree, is probably the one to beat. But it is a mile and a quarter. And that horse has finished pretty well, but doesn't like to change leads all the time, and that could catch up to, especially at a mile and a quarter. So I'm really looking for a horse that I know can get the distance. Now, Just Basking is the obvious one, has actually won in a mile and a quarter. And like Scott said in the last race, it won and it galloped out strong. So I think that's where everyone's going to go as the alternative to Candide, maybe Power Squeeze. I don't think the price is going to float up above 5-1. I'd be surprised if it does. I could be wrong. You know, Miss Justify could take some money. But the one I like is the other horse, I think, that's really going to relish going a mile and a quarter, and that's the 8-horse Neon Icon. And that horse will be a huge price. We actually had this horse on the pod for the Indiana Oaks, and I think Scott might even been touting this one. I can't remember.
I did somebody, pick the horse. Yeah,
and I didn't like the horse at all in that race because I thought, you know, this horse wants longer, and the race wasn't going to set up for her because it didn't like there was much pace on. But I said, this horse is one I would really be interested in going forward, especially going long on the turf. But, you know, in this case, they're trying to keep it on the dirt. You know, I think it's bred to love the distance. It's already won at the distance. I don't think it had much of a setup. It got a bad start. It was, chasing a pretty slow pace. So I'm going to forgive that last race. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. And I think at a mile and a quarter, this horse just might shock people and will be a big price. So I'm going to go with the 8 Neon Icon. Probably won't just play it to win. If I'll probably be playing a little bit underneath just because of the way it runs. I think it will be finishing up. And at 15-1 the morning line, this one might actually go off it at that price or higher. So I'm all about the 8 Neon Icon.
Okay. Well, I think I might have given it away already by mentioning that extension on the gallop out. Just Basking just looks fantastic. And I liked her, and then I noticed that she won at the distance. So, you know, she won her last so easily, and then she just kept on going and going and going. And she's improved every single race. She's improved or stayed the same. She's never regressed. as I wrote, she's the now horse and is a gift at 5-1. Maybe she will get pounded. I don't know. Candide seems okay to me, but like that's a horse I don't want to use. I think these horses are close enough in ability that I'm going to get some value by not using Candide in this pick 5.
Mike, jump in.
But listen, I'm never going to argue with somebody who's trying to beat a heavy favorite in a race. I'll tell you that right now. This isn't one of the favorites I was necessarily looking to, you know, totally leave out because, again, I just think Candy is the most likely winner of this race. And I think she's the most likely winner by quite a margin. But I liked Basking enough to want to take a shot with her in here and to also use her in the pick 5. But, you know, listen, if you can beat Candide in here, you're going to go a long way towards getting the right kind of payoff in this pick 5.
I'll tell you who I like. Another horse I like better than Candide, and that's Power Squeeze. I think she may get overlooked a bit. She barely won the Delaware Oaks, but her numbers are similar, and the breeding says she could be fine at the distance. So, and when I say that, I say she was her grand dam is was awesome again, and you know he brings stamina to any pedigree, and I think the dam also had its best figures going 2 turns, I like Power Squeeze too. In fact, I'd be using these two equally, Just Basking and Power Squeeze.
Yeah, Power Squeeze is a really cool horse. She was the one I thought she would be the second favorite in this race, the second choice to Candide. And so she was really the horse that I was against in there. I wasn't going to use Power Squeeze no matter what in this race. I do like her, and I think she's good. But I'm actually, I do have questions about 10 furlongs for her. And, you know, I like her races enough, but I don't love them to, you know, to want to be using her as the second choice in this race.
Yeah, I actually think she's as likely to win as Candy. So, and probably as Just Basking and Neon Icon. I think they're all about the same. That's why I'm on Neon Icon. We'll see. But yeah, maybe Neon Icons and Just Basking are a notch below Candy and Power Squeeze. But to me, they're about the same. And the mile and a quarter is a question mark. But from a breeding standpoint and from what I've seen visually, I don't see any reason why Candy would be more likely to win than Power Squeeze. But we'll see. I don't want to bet either one, but certainly from a price standpoint, Power Squeeze will be better than Candy. I think David Aragon has got it right, though. He's got, you know, a lot of horses in that, you know, 4.5 to 1 to 6 or 8 to 1 range. And that's probably how it'll be after Candy. I'm not sure which ones are going to be the 4 to 1 and which ones are going to be the 8 to 1, but they're all going to be in that range.
I agree. I think that is the question. Who do they wind up siding with outside of Candy, who is going to be the favorite? Who do they side with after that? And it's kind of wide open. I don't really know which way they're going to go. And listen, there's also a chance that Candy is, you know, she's 7 to 5 on the line. There's a chance she's even money in this race. So.
And then it becomes a lot more interesting to me trying to beat her if they do better.
Right.
Because I don't think she stands out.
All right, well, let's go to the 11th race, which is not only the fourth leg of this, but it's the payoff. It's the cleanup spot for the Grand Slam. It's a mile on the dirt, purse of $70,000 for three-year-olds and up. Chris, what are you thinking?
I don't know if I'd want to go for the Grand Slam on this race. This is a tough race. I just don't like anything in here. To make a pick, this is probably not a race I'll be betting. These are the kind of horses I just never know, you know, what's going on with these horses. You just don't know what the trainers are doing, you know, what problems they have. It's just so hard to rely on anything, but I'll go with, the 5-horse Wind 99, the Atrus Claim. This horse has gotten, its dirt form is pretty good, has been ever since it, you know, started racing. It was kind of stuck running on synth at Gulfstream, and then now they started running back on dirt once it left Gulfstream, and its last couple of parks were good, got claims, had some time. You know, it may run up the track, who knows, but if it runs back to what it's run before, and Atrus is pretty good off the claim, there's no reason why I couldn't win. It's 10 to 1 in the morning line. So I don't have a lot of enthusiasm on this one, but to me, there's that horse looks as good as any of them, and it'll be, you know, one of the better prices. So I'm going to go with the 5 Win 99.
Okay. 3 for 6 of the distance. How's that going for it? Mike, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I kind of agree that this race is like a real turnoff as far as the pick five goes. It just, you know, betting in general, I thought it was a little bit of a turnoff, and then you throw in that they're running it out of the chute going a mile, it just makes it even worse. I had two opinions kind of on this race. One of them is that there are, what are there, 4 or 5 of these horses just ran against each other at the end of July, going 2 turns, going 9 furlongs. I think 4 of them were in that race on July 27th. And I kind of only wanted to use 1.5 of those horses. The one I'm going to take out of that race is the 6, Have You Heard, who they put him on the lead that day. He went a pretty fast pace, and he totally stopped at the top of the stretch. I like him cutting back a little bit here to the mile. And I liked his prior 2 dirt races after Maker claimed him. So I kind of want to stay positive on him at a better price in this race too. So I'm going to use him. I'm going to use Yo Daddy, the 3, even though I think he hangs a little bit. Linda Rice putting blinkers on him, so maybe that'll sort of take care of that for him, because he always runs And then it seems like he doesn't want to pass horses late. I'm going to use him, but I don't really trust that horse. And then, listen, maybe you guys disagree with this. Kristen didn't mention the morning line favorite, Unlimited Potential, but the race goes through him. I mean, if he runs his last race, he's going to win. And I don't love that he's cutting back to a mile out of the chute here, because that's, you know, anything can go wrong in that kind of a scenario. But this horse has speed. He's got three races that are too good for these horses. And listen, you have to reconcile the fact that Fletcher dumped this horse early in the meet. He was an allowance horse. He had run fine, breaking his maiden. He ran one bad race, and Fletcher dumped this horse in for 16. He couldn't wait to get him out of the barn. But when he ran him for the low claiming tag, he absolutely buried that field. I mean, he went a fast pace. He never gave them a chance, that he won for fun. And he got claimed out of that race by a really good trainer. I mean, these Cantermachis, they know what they're doing. They have great numbers off the claim, and they're bringing this horse back relatively quickly. So it feels like there's nothing wrong with him, and he's in a protected spot where they can't lose him. I don't know. I think he's way the horse to beat in here. Not that I don't understand why people would have reservations about it.
I definitely, I'm on the fence with Unlimited Potential at carrying the 125, but, you know, it's not that much more than most of these. So, I will land on a different horse than either of you guys mentioned. And that is the one, Smile Mon, who
the other actress.
He's circling back to a top that can win this. He's had trouble or unsatisfactory conditions in every race since his last good number, which is an 89 buyer back in November going two turns at Churchill. Since then, he has he's encountered synthetic, then slop. Then he had a major steady at Keeneland, and then at Churchill, he was bumped at the start. And that was all while doing a circle back, which is a great way to make a score, because most people don't see these circle backs, and unless they're looking at the sheets. And I like him. I like him quite a bit. And he's got the inside post, and he's got some speed. He should be near the lead. I feel pretty good about this one, Smile Mom.
So Scott, I tweeted this out. I don't know if you noticed it, but the horse was claimed out of his last race and got voided because of a positive test. So I didn't think, first time I've ever seen that, because now they're starting to show you the reason for the things like scratches and void, but I'd never seen a horse that had been voided because of a positive test written down in the form. So that might be some pause for concern on that one.
Oh, yeah, I did not see that. The V means, so he was voided for what? Does it say what the positive test
in time form? It says because, no, but I mean, I'm guessing it was either an overage of a legal med or I don't know exactly what the test was, but
clearly they didn't give him enough of it, and hopefully this race I don't know. I mean, the positive test, I have no idea. That's a concern. I mean,
well, you might get it might help the price, but I mean, the fact that he hasn't been running quite as well this year as he had last year, and then he gets, you know, a positive test on the horse, probably not good. Doesn't mean it has been almost, you know, 2.5 months. So, you know, their time can help, but, you know, that would be a concern.
Well, let's put it this way. I'm not singling him now. I wasn't planning on singling him, but I hadn't decided on all the horses I was going to use.
Yeah, to me, this is a race where if just about not everyone, but most of them, if they run back to their best race, and some of them it was their last race, they could win. But But if they run back to another recent race, they could run dead last. I mean, and that's why I'm not as high on Unlimited Potential as Mike is, because yeah, if he runs back to his good races, he can win. But he's got a couple of real stinkers recently too. And, you know, he's never put two good ones together in a row, and, you know, and Fletcher just gave him away. So, I mean, there's a lot of negatives, not.
Well, that's true. Yeah. That's the real sticking point, is just that Fletcher did give this horse away. It feels like a really bad sign. I think, as far as I can tell though, Chris, he only has one bad race. That was too bad. Where's his other bad? All of his other races are good.
I mean, well,
I don't think this horse really wants to sprint, but every time he's only gone long four times, three of them are all races. They're going to make him really tough in here. The bad one was too bad. I don't know what happened there, but Fletcher certainly hated it.
Yeah. And the four back, it was a sprint, but it was his worst sprint by far. I mean, he didn't run much in that one.
Yeah.
So right. those are the two I meant, you know, two of his last four have been really good. Two of his last four have been not so good.
Right.
But you know,
yeah, I don't want to sit here and sound like I'm defending this horse too much either as the favorite. I really want to defend him. I just feel like if he runs as good race, he's going to win, whether he does that or not. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, and he ran some good races at the start of his career too, and then there was that long layoff, right?
Right. Something yeah, I mean, he's a five year old with seven starts, so he's had issues for sure. So I'm sure Fletcher didn't care to lose this horse last time, but it is. Yeah. It's weird that he dumped him that much. I mean, he really dumped this horse.
Yeah, and these are the kind of horses that a barn like, you know, the one that claimed him could patch him up. I'm being generous with my terminology, but these are the kind of horses you never know. They could run a big race. They could run a complete clunker. That's why I don't like this race at all. But I think you could say that about more than Unlimited Potential, and he's going to be the favorite. So. That's why I'm just not too big on him. I wouldn't be shocked at all if he won, but I mean, there's a bunch of horses in here that kind of in the same position, you know, Smile Mon, if he runs back to some of his good races last year, you know, or improves off of that, I don't think he's going to, but he could. You know, you can say that Yo Daddy, like you said, blinkers on, last race wasn't bad, a little bit of improvement, could win. Who's the King? Throw that last race and one before ran huge.
He's got two really good races. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, so that to me, that you're describing almost every horse in the race that way, and that's why if I'm going to play something, I want a price, because I just can't rely on anything. And this is why in the pick five or the Grand Slam, this race makes it really tough for me.
I
think the last two races make it tough. I don't like either of the last two races.
I should mention one other horse then, that he was my second choice besides Smile Mon, and that is Storming Chrome. Now, so he's got some solid races. You know, this year he's run a string of pretty good races, and it looks like he's about to run one of his good races. And two races back at a mile and an eighth at Aqueduct, he ran his best number. He has a win going a mile at Laurel this year. This is a horse I'm definitely using, and he's 8-1. So, he's not much slower than, he's about as fast as Unlimited Potential, but he's not as ouchy, and he's had more time since his last good race.
Yeah, to me, he's kind of an outlier in this field. I don't see him winning, but he's one of the more consistent horses. It seems like at the starter races, he's not good enough to win, but he usually runs a good race. So he's the one where if you like had to make a show bet, if this was like earlier in the Grand Slam, he might be a good horse to play in this race. Mm-hmm. But to win, it just doesn't seem like he's quite good enough to win at this level. But he is kind of different than a lot of the others in that he's been pretty consistent all year long. He pretty much runs his race every time, which you can't say about most of the others.
All right. Well, I'm going to give people a little strategy here for the Grand Slam, and you can do this for $10, right? You can take the favorite in the eighth, who would be, let's say it's Donegal Surges, but if he doesn't run, it's Timeout. And then you can take the favorite in the She Feels Pretty race. You can take the favorite in Candied. It's okay if Candied gets beat. She just has to finish third. So you single, you know, you have one horse in each one of those races, and then you go all in the 11th. As long as you can get through those first three legs with the favorites, you're good to go.
All right. Can I give a counter strategy on?
Sure. Counter strategy.
I think that's a terrible strategy.
Yeah.
I would not play this unless you think you can get one of the favorites to run out of the money. If you can't in those first three legs, you shouldn't play it. So to me, you've got to have one race where you think the favorite. You know, so unfortunately for me, you know, Unlimited Potential would be the one I'd be happy to toss, you know, try to get that one out of the money, hope he runs a clunker, but that's in the win leg, so it doesn't help you that much. But you need to have, you know, you've got to be against, you got to think Candied will run out, or She Feels Pretty's going to run out, and now it's probably, or Timeout's going to run out. You got to play one of those three to run out, because if they don't, not going to pay anything. And if you go play all on the last leg and they all come in, you know, you're underwater on the ticket probably.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's probably the worst way to play it. And now that'd be an all right way to play it. If you think you can beat the favorite out of the money, got it. Not just beat the favorite out of the win slot, like on a pick five, but beat the favorite out of the money. If you can't do that, especially if there's strong favorites in each of the first three legs, it's just a terrible bet. So that's just my advice if you're going to play it.
Yeah, and you know, but I do want to clarify that I just want to hit this bet once and then I'm done.
That's all I'm trying to do.
Well, no. You shouldn't go. You shouldn't go three deep in three deep and hope one of your horses shows. That I think, you know, you certainly want to go skinny in one of those legs. I agree with you value wise. If you can get, you know, you want to make sure one of those favorites is going to be out of it. But I don't think that this is a sequence where one of those favorites is going to necessarily, like, I'm not screaming that Timeout's not going to finish in the top three. But you know, for 10 bucks, if I can say that I've hit it, then I will rest it easier.
Okay. Well, with that caveat, I'll let you go. But I would say in normal circumstances, I would say do not ever play this if that's the way you're going to play it. So.
All right. Well, we're going to try to get all our money back in the 12th race. And that's a maiden special weight on the turf, a 5.5 furlongs, purse of 90,000 for fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up. Mike, where are you at in this race?
I don't know. I don't like this race. Between the two favorites, the 3 and the 12, which prefer the black, I wouldn't use a 3 at all. Not that she can't win, she can, but I would never bet that horse. The horse that I picked in favor that I want to bet on is the number 11, Long Legged Queen, but she's also eligible. So I'm not going to go on and on about her because she's not in the race right now. But if she gets a scratch, she's in. I thought she ran fine in her debut. She has a turf pedigree. She'll have Lasix for this if she gets in. And I think she's found the right field here. So if she gets to run, I kind of want to bet her. I think she'll be a fair price. And I guess the other horse that I'll use is the 8, Perfect Disco, who I think's run fine. Two races are separated by a year. She's putting races together for the first time. I thought she ran fine in both of her starts. She improved just a little bit. She can beat these horses. This is a thing I don't like, but who I do. And there's not anybody that I really like in here. I get that the 5 might just be the best horse. She has speed. She ran pretty well against a better field than this in her debut. Just feels like she's maybe found the right field here. So I guess she's the most likely winner, but you know, I wasn't dying to bet on her. I picked the 11. 5 and 8 are the other horses for me. And I'll just to throw in a long shot here, I'll use a little of the first time starter who has, I think, a really nice pedigree to sprint on the grass. we'll see if she needs a race. She's going to be a huge price in here for Jimmy Ryerson, who used to be pretty good with first. He hasn't done well with first-time starters recently, but he used to do pretty well with first-time starters.
Okay, so long-legged queen if she gets in, and perfect disco otherwise. Chris, what do you think?
Go ahead.
It's barefoot disco, right?
Barefoot disco.
sorry about that. Barefoot disco.
Yeah, you were cutting out a little bit on me, Mike. Was it clear for you, Scott? Was it just on my end? I wasn't sure.
No, it was bad. But it, every time I was about to say, like, you're fading out, Mike. He got a little more clear. So.
Okay, so you thought the five was the horse to beat, right? Beautiful Thief,
yes.
Is that what I heard? And then
the five,
if the 11 draws.
If the 11 draws in, that's horse I would take a shot with. We'll see if that happens. If not, I think the five is the horse to beat. The three and the five are the two favorites. I much prefer the five to the three.
Okay, the horse that I like in here is the six, Naughty Destiny. Started her career out going longer and didn't run too poorly on those races. I mean, hit the board on debut, but they shortened her up, and I thought her two races this year were pretty good. Her last race, I didn't think she had the most comfortable of trips, so I'm willing to forgive that a little bit, and it was still pretty good. And now she goes, you know, third off the layoff. Her race before that, and she had some trouble too. So I think, you know, third off the layoff with a good trip. Dylan Davis has been riding well at the meet. And, you know, to me, she looks like the most likely winner. Maybe Beautiful Thief, you could argue. But to me, those two seem like the most likely winner. And probably Barefoot Disco would be the next. But, if I were going to play this in like the pick five, I would probably go Naughty Destiny back up with Beautiful Thief, maybe Barefoot Disco. I'm going to try to beat Heart of the Night, who I think has had some really good trips and still hasn't got the job done and doesn't have the same upside as some of the other horses. So that's kind of the favorite I want to try to beat in here. So I would go with Naughty Destiny and probably back it up with Beautiful Thief. I might not even do the backup. I might just go with Naughty Destiny, but that's how I'd play it. The six horses who I like.
All right. Well, I'm glad Mike mentioned Lucy Playa because that's my horse. She shows a nice 47-2 gate work for a trainer who rarely wins first time out. But I was wishing that I could go farther back than 5 years in DRF because he's like 2 for 65 in the last 5 years. But I seem to remember him winning first timers with some first timers before that, you know, sometime in the past. Anyway, in the last 5 years, even his winners did not have as good works as this one. Her dam was 5 for 17 on the turf sprinting, so she has the breeding. And with first time turf sprinters, at least in the last 5 years, trainer is 0 for 16. But he has 1 second at 35-1, and he also has a second at 8-1 at Saratoga with this jock, Jose Lascano. So he's got the rail. It's a tough spot for a first timer. But if the horse can break, I think it's gone. These horses are a suspect bunch, and I think Lucy Playa can do it at 20-1 or bigger.
There you go. Has to break from that post. Absolutely would have to break. I just usually, when I see looking at Lucky as a sire, I'm thinking this horse wants longer, and this is more of a prep, but it does have the good work. But it does it'll definitely have to get out of the gate. But if it does, you know, if it could break on top, who knows?
Yeah. It's the right kind of field, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Heart of the Night, who the projector, well, I guess the projector has Beautiful Thief on top. She was near the lead in her debut. The main thing is that there's no fast pace projected. And that makes me a little bit more confident with Lucy Playa. I have to decide. I won't single her, but but actually, I mean, we'll see how the whole thing pans out. Maybe I will single her because I'm not sure I'm going to, I'm not sure I want to be 3 to 4 deep in this race.
There you go. I'll be a brave single. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the one I couldn't throw out. There's no way. Well, off with that good gate work. You never know. But it's probably not one I would lean on. But I wouldn't talk you out of it. I mean, this is the kind of race where a horse like that could win.
Yeah, she's an interesting horse to use somewhere, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are at the point where we go to our best value and most likely winner segment. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, Mike. If you are, hopefully you have horses that are forthcoming. If not, you can let me and Chris go.
Just for tomorrow's card you're talking about?
For the sequence.
I wouldn't say he's the most likely winner. He's certainly not. But the horse who I think is going to be valued that I want to bet on is Cartucho in their 8th race. There's going to be a big price. And he's the horse that I want to bet in this sequence. He's the horse I'm most looking forward to betting on. Okay.
What about the most likely winner? Who is the most likely winner in the sequence?
That's a good question. The most likely winner, I think, is... I'm going to say it's Candied in the Alabama.
Okay, Chris?
All right. Yeah, I would say most likely winner... I'll have my value play most likely winner in the same race. She feels pretty, I think, is the most likely winner in the sequence. And my value play would be Le Rey in that race. I just was really impressed with her last couple races. And because most people probably haven't watched those races, because it takes a little effort to do that, the 10-to-1 price. And so that I'll go with both of those horses. That sounds a little bit inconsistent, but I just think there's a lot of value in Le Rey, but she feels pretty is probably more likely than anybody else in the sequence to win. So I'm going to go with those two.
Okay. Well, I'll make my most likely winner She Feels Pretty. I'm going to make my best value Lucy Playa, because any horse that's 20-to-1 or higher that I'm thinking about singling is the best value. So there you go.
There you go. That will be a good one if that comes in.
That's a good one. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you guys have any spot plays on the rest of the card?
Well, I know Mike looked at the whole card. What do you think, Mike? You have one?
Sure did. You know what? I thought the early part of the card was, pretty dismal. But in the seventh race, the seventh race, the 1 3/16 on the turf. I don't know if you guys got into that race yet. How about the number 8, Mondego, for Christophe Clement? I'm looking for this horse to get a little bit of a different trip this time. He's been involved on two starts this year as a 4-year-old, two fast paces he got involved in. I'm looking for him to get a different trip here. I think that horse is pretty good. He should be a fair price in that race.
Yeah, I think he can win that. That is a wide open race, but that's the race I was going to mention too. But I have a different horse, and that's the 6-horse Mendelssohn's March, who is another horse we had on the podcast last time. And I thought he had an impossible post, and it was more of a prep. But I've said this is a horse I'm really interested following and playing back next time he runs if he's in the right spot. And I think this is the right spot for him. Second off the layoff. I thought his last race, he ran just about like I thought he would. He was parked wide all the way around, didn't run too bad, but it looked like, he was just prepping. And now he has that race under his belt. It's a better post in here. He's a big price in a wide open race. So Mendelssohn's March is the horse I would be interested in the undercard. I'm hoping they stay on the turf for that one.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I think we talked about him a couple weeks ago, and he scratched because the race was off the turf.
I think it was an off the turf race, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the spacing looks even better now. So color me very interested, although I have not handicapped the race.
That's a pretty wide open race. You could make a case for a lot of them. You know, it's kind of the typical turf route, but
it's one of the better races at a price for sure.
Yeah, let's just hope they're not like off the turf or everything with the stakes races tomorrow. That one would be one I'd definitely be interested in playing. And I really don't want that last race we just talked about to go off the turf. You know, it's the one probably most likely in the sequence to get taken off, that maiden race at the end of the sequence. So let's hope that one stays on. But we'll see.
Well, I have some bad news. I've been using AccuWeather as my weather app recently because because whenever I disagree with my girlfriend, she uses AccuWeather and I use the one that comes default on the iPhone, and she's always right. So I finally switched to AccuWeather, and now they're saying 50% chance of rain starting at 1 p.m., which is kind of a bummer. 43% chance at 11 a.m. So I don't know what's going to happen, but maybe we'll avoid it, but I'm expecting some wet.
What does this mean for the Grand Slam?
Yeah. Well, they'll probably stay on the turf for the stakes race. You would hope. So
true.
It shouldn't be a surface change on the Grand Slam anyway. Maybe that's why they did it, so they wouldn't have a turf race at the end.
Yeah, they want to keep that 20,000 in handle intact.
Yeah.
that's about what the Grand Slam does. Anyway, I would like to thank our guest, Mike Beer. Mike, thanks for handicapping with us. It was fun.
Guys, yeah, it was. It was a really good time. Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate it.
All right, that will conclude show number 285 of the Sport of Kings pod. Good luck at Saratoga and wherever else you play. And please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
Cheers.
Giddy up.